Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks to
guitar's out of tune, so.
I need you.
Guitar's out, so.
Spoiled.
Oh, spoiled.
I was like, what?
Having to.
It is kind of convenient.
You got school.
Yeah. Look at that.
Go in there, young fellow. We're ready.
Lord Jesus, we just come to you today.
Yes,
Lord God,
Jesus.
Thank you for another day.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for putting us out here in the wilderness, Lord God.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God.
In the wilderness that you created,
thank
Lord
you, Jesus.
God.
Hallelujah.
And Lord Jesus, what we ask that you watch over everybody on the prayer list,
yes,
Lord God, and move it only the way that they
thank you,
that you would move in their lives, Lord God. And now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless this offering
yes,
of the good
Lord.
Of the kingdom that
thank
you take
Jesus.
It and do what you'll have done with it, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord. Thank you.
In the
you,
mighty
Jesus.
Name of Jesus we pray, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God.
Amen.
Man, good job, man.
Do
mine
online
now. Oh. Spud's dedicated.
Hey.
He's all right.
I'm just saying.
All right. You never had me a big fancy Bible like this.
Is that your redone?
Oh, I still have it. I can't.
Ooh, those pages are bright.
I mean, I will. I just haven't been able to yet. No, this is one that was donated. Bonnie and John brought a bunch of them down. And they gave a bunch of them out. And this one is like giant print, which is cool for like this because I can't bring my baby out. Something happened to her. But like for a personal Bible study, I would never suggest this.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere to write, no notes, you know. It's good for like this, right? Where you know where your text is and you want to leave your study Bible home and don't want to bring it out to a park. So, but I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you today about a big, noisy, stressful, stinky boat. Big, noisy, stinky boat. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now, the funny thing about this big, stinky, noisy boat is that it didn't start out that way. It started out the love boat. And it turned into a big, noisy, stinky boat. Can you see it, Mom?
It's not loading.
Yeah, I couldn't get the live to go either.
There it goes.
Okay, Genesis 6. You got it? Say, I got it.
Got it.
All right. Well, I gave you guys an easy one. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. You know, one of these days I'll talk about that particular topic in detail because there is a substantial amount of proof that this was actually angels that were having relations with human women, and that the reason that Satan instituted that was to corrupt all of man's bloodlines, because he knew in the garden that the Redeemer was going to come through a pure bloodline. So he corrupted almost every bloodline on the planet except for one. But that's a whole nother, it deserves a little more time. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He is flesh, yet his days will be 120, not no more. And he hadn't really decided to do that then because he's getting ready to use a man. It's already 500. He's going to use him for 120 more, past 500 at least. So God cut the man's lifespan down to 120, but then now in our day and age, it's down to 70. So if you get 70, you're doing real good. Anything past that's a bonus. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, their children became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Yeah, I suppose so. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. He was done with everything and everybody. But Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. His daddy didn't teach it to him. His papaw didn't teach it to him. When you do the timeline, you find out his papaw, Methuselah, died in the flood. Didn't get on the boat with him. But somehow Noah, all on his own, made a decision without even being raised to know God. He made a decision that this stuff right here is vile and I'm not having it. Uh-huh. It's not going to be in my house. He didn't have to be taught that in Sunday school. He didn't need a preacher to teach him that. There's something in him that said, this ain't for me, this ain't for my wife, this ain't for my kids. It ain't going to happen. Verse 14. God speaks to Noah after he finds grace. And he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Big boat. Rooms you're going to put in the boat. And you're going to pitch it within and without. Going to seal it. Fancy. That's God calls right there. And this is the fashion which you're going to make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Now, a cubit is a foot and a half. So if it's 300, that's 450 feet long. Gave one man a job. You go, me and Travis trying to just put stuff back on a pontoon. It's, I don't know how long. How long is that pontoon, Travis?
20 foot.
20 foot. And that's a job. He just tells, dude, you're going to make a 450 foot boat. That's how long it is. It's going to be the breadth of it, the width of it's 50 cubits. So that means it's 75 feet wide. It's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. The height is 30 cubits. That means it's 45. I don't know. What do you think? One of the trees?
Oh, easy.
Yeah. All right. Noah's standing on the ground like, it's going to be high. Yeah. I mean, I'm Jackie. I ain't got no union laborers. I ain't got no scaffolding. Matter of fact, I need a little help. A window you're going to put in the ark, a window. No, it's probably thinking, well, that's cool. Have me a view. One window. Well, it's cool right now, but one day you're going to wish you had a whole lot more windows than that, Noah. And in a cubit, you're going to fashion it above, and the door of the ark you're going to set in the side with the lower, second, and third stories. So you got a 45-foot tall boat with three stories, 15 feet a story. You should have to be 15 feet while it's coming in that boat. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and you will come into the boat, you and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Now I'm going to pause right there for a minute, because I want to focus on this part right now. This is when the boat is still, it's a love boat right now. Because even right now, Noah's thinking, all right, 45 feet, 450 feet. Holy Moses, how am I going to do all this, right? But all Noah's concentrating on is the fact that this boat is going to save him, his wife, his kids, and his daughter-in-laws, which means his grandbabies are going to be saved one day. He don't have any grandbabies now. So the work and the immensity of the work isn't on his mind right now. All that's on his mind right now is God's going to wipe everything out that's evil, but he's going to let us live. So this boat is their only hope. So it doesn't matter how long it takes to build the boat. Doesn't matter that he ain't got it figured out how he's going to build the boat. All that matters right now is this is going to save me and my family, my kids, and grandkids I don't even have yet.
Right.
Right? So right now, it's a love boat. So then God, with the size of the job, it's a 100-year job. 100 years. Three sons working. The wives are working. These wives weren't staying home on YouTube. These are working wives, just like the women that are here in our church family. And they were part of that work too, right? So for 100 years, they're working on this boat. Nobody help them. Nobody believes them. Nobody thinks what they're telling them is true. The Bible says, I don't know what is out here. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, that means from the time he started building that boat, for the whole 100 years, he kept preaching. And his preaching wasn't motivated by how many people were listening. It didn't stop because it was just his family. He didn't. I'm sure he got discouraged. I'm sure he got frustrated. And I'm quite sure he would have enjoyed to have the help. Because can you imagine? Amen. Well, I'm not going to ask that question. I'll withdraw that question. I was going to say, can you imagine going to bed at night knowing you're going to get up and go back and do the very same thing the next day all day? But I got a feeling you guys know exactly how that feels. Mm-hmm. Now imagine, okay, that you're not going to retire in 20 years from now or 25 years from now. When you go to bed at night, you still got 99 years, 9 months, and 27 days left, right? And if you go to sleep the next night, you're going to get up, you got 99 years, 9 months, and 26 days left. And every morning you get up, and you're glad for what you got built, but all you see is what you got left to build. So the only thing that can keep you motivated in that situation is knowing, this is the only thing going to save my family. Mm-hmm. The only thing that can keep you doing it by yourself when nobody else wants to hear it, nobody else believes in you, is you know this is going to save my family.
Yes. That's right.
And if I can get in this boat, then there's hope for grandkids I don't even have yet. There's hope for lines, generations that I will never see if I stay working on this boat. Right. So right now, even though the work is hard, it was a love boat, man. It was. Because he loved the idea that God gave them a way out. That there was a way of salvation for them. Mm-hmm. So for 100 years, they work on this boat. So far, love boat. And then God drops the bomb in verse number 19. He finishes 18. Oh yeah, with you, I'm going to establish a covenant. I love you so much. You'll come into the ark, you and your sons' wives with you. Now look, there is never a covenant. Look, there's two shoes that drop when you get a covenant with God. The first one is the shoe of the covenant. God drops that shoe. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And we're like, oh, that's awesome, God. Man, I'm glad you're making a covenant with me, right? And then God drops the other shoe. Guess what the other shoe is? Work. Because He drops the first shoe first. Says, you and your house, you getting on this boat. In verse number 19. And. The work don't end when you get the boat built.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Work 100 years on the boat. Nobody helps you. You get done working on the boat. 100 years, and you're thinking, oh, this is nice. 100 years, man. Whew, I'm going to get on this boat, and I'm going to chill, take us a little cruise, and it's going to be over, and it's going to be just us. We can pick the land we want, the garden we want, the house we want. We got the pick of the land, right? Well, that ain't exactly what happened, because he did all the work for the 100 years, and then all these guests start showing up. Who didn't do no work, didn't help you do nothing on the boat, and they don't show up to help you in the boat either. All they do is cause you more work. Mm-hmm. You worked 100 years by yourself to build that boat, gonna save your family. You get the boat built, your family's saved in that thing, and all these guests show up who ain't gonna help you do nothing. All they're gonna do is make noise. All they're gonna do is make a mess, pardon the pond. No, don't pardon the pond. All they're going to do is make a mess, and there's only one window in this boat. And I got a feeling everybody in Noah's family took turns going up the ladder of that window several times a day, right? Guess it didn't help build the boat, but God said they get to come in the boat anyway because I'm not building this boat just for you. I'm building this boat for some others. Right. And these others ain't going to help you. God didn't call them first. Called Noah's family first to build the boat. And it's a love boat. And this boat we've been building right here, it's for real love boat. Our families really genuinely legit care for each other.
Yep.
That's outside of the structure of our services.
Yep.
For real. I've seen it all. I've seen it behind the scenes. I've seen every single family here ask about another family if they need anything. Man, you think we can... It's a nice thing when you got to slow somebody down, worry about somebody else, and trying to figure out a way to go help them. That's an awesome thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens all the time in our little church family that's made up of four families. Four families. Right now, it's a love boat. And that's good. And right now, it's going to save our families. And that's good.
Yes.
And right now, we're building something that's going to last for generations that we're never going to see.
Amen.
And that's good. Right?
Amen. Yes. Yes.
But it ain't going to stay in love boat forever. Noah worked on that boat for 100 years. Now, so I'm thinking about this now. He lived to be, what, 600 some years?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll give him 700. lives close to 700 years. We get 70, 72. So we get a tenth of what he got. So if he worked 100 years in his boat, if we worked 10 years on this, what if we worked 10 years on this and it was just our four families? Now, I don't personally expect that to happen, but you know what? I don't judge success the way I did when I was young.
Right.
I don't judge success by what modern religion and church judges success by. I judge success by people's growth in God.
Yep.
And one thing I've learned is that if we live as a model of what it is to love God and love people in front of everybody, then they're going to make a decision on their own.
Yeah.
You cannot keep the hungry away from bread.
Right.
You can't do it. They will go to a church they've never been to, be baptized by a preacher they've never met before. Hungry people will go where the bread's at.
Right.
So all we got to do is keep doing what we're doing. Love people. Be real. Get closer to God every day that we can. That's our job. And the people that are hungry and are looking for something real, it's one thing to say it out of your mouth. It's another thing to mean it. If they mean it in their heart, when they find real, they're going to connect and they're going to want it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. That's all our job is. Now, if it took 10 years and it was our four families, I'm good with that. I'm not gonna feel like some kind of second fiddle, backwoods, backstreet, whatever they want to call me. That don't matter to me. That ain't why I signed up for this.
Right.
I signed up for this to help one person, and then one more person, and then one family, and then one more family, and that's it. Anything more than that, okay. It will never be less than that, though.
Right.
Never gonna happen.
Right.
So, love boat. Until, verse 19, every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, bring into the ark. And when you get them in that boat, keep them alive. It shall be male and female. Fowls, birds after their kind, cattle after their kind. Hey, here's where Kitty's saying, I'm not working in that department on the boat. Every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Every creeping thing, man. Everything. God said everything can get on this boat that I want on this boat. God didn't give Noah the right to choose who got to walk through the door of that boat. All Noah's job and his family's was to build the boat. And then whatever God sent on the boat, the next job they had, look what he said, keep them alive. That's the job. Mm-hmm. So we don't get to pick. And I'm telling you right now, there's going to be some creeping things come through the front door, man.
Mm-hmm.
Straight creeps. And you know what? That's all right. Because they won't stay creeps long. They'll make contact with God. God will change their life. They won't be creeps no more. Or they'll creep their way right back out the door like they came in.
Right. Yeah.
But that'll be up to them and God. Take unto you all food that is eaten. Man, I just built the... I spent 100 years on this. Now I got to go get all the food. God had to download in Noah's brain all the different kinds of foods that all these animals ate. And then, where's the food at? Then he had to go get the food. You didn't have a semi. You didn't have a truck.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go get all that food. All for passengers that didn't help do anything. He built the boat. And now he's got to go out and find stuff to put in the boat that's going to be good for the passengers that didn't help build the boat. And that's the church's job.
Yep.
That's when the love boat starts turning into a exhausting, stinky, loud, noisy boat. That's nothing but work. And here's the deal. God called our families first. So I'm enjoying this love boat era right here.
Right.
I really am. I really am. Because the day's going to come, man, where it's going to get loud. It's going to get stinky. There's going to be guests that didn't help do any of this stuff to prepare it for them. That when they do come, they're not going to help even then. All they're going to want to do is eat and make messes. And it's going to be our job to do the feeding and the cleaning up all the messes.
Yep.
Big, loud, stanky boat. It's nothing but work. And this is where a lot of churches make a decision. Man, we've been having church like this for 10 years. I've been sitting on that pew right over there for the last 7 and a half. And Jimmy and Stacy sing 3 songs, and then we have the offering, and Spud does the offering, and then we have our announcements. And man, we don't do all that. Them kids run around like that. We've been doing this. We like the way we've been doing this. This love boat's been real comfortable, and it's been working real good for us. Now, we don't like all that noise. We don't like all that stanky stuff. We don't like cleaning up after all that. Nah, it ain't gonna happen. Not in our church. You never find one verse where Noah said, not in my boat.
Come on.
Right.
He never did take ownership of that ark.
That's right.
All he took ownership of was his job. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he never forgot. This is going to save my family. He never forgot. There's going to be generations after me that are going to walk this world and know who God is because I built the boat. And then I fed uninvited guests who didn't do nothing but cause me more work. And I did it anyway because somebody's coming after me. Take it unto you, all the food that is eaten, you'll gather it to thee, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. And all I got's about 25 ducks. I got 7, 11, 12 chickens, and 2 goats, 4 dogs. Sounds like a lot to a lot of people, and to a lot of people it would be. And sometimes, as much as I love all of them, and I do, and I've got to have stuff to do. If I don't have something to do, man, it's not good for anybody. Kitty's ready to shoot me in the head. Go find something to do. I think some of us fellows here, well, I know us fellows here all have that in us. But there are some days now, I'm just going to tell you, where in the morning, even though I know they're waiting on me, they need it and they deserve it, and I'm the one who took responsibility for them, there's some mornings where it's like, oh man, I wish I didn't have to go out there and do them chores. I'd like to just fly everybody's chore. Jimmy said, amen. And then, you know, you get through that, and then about an hour later, clock starts ticking in your head. Well, second round's about 6 o'clock. Man, you know, I ain't gonna hurt them to eat just one time. Can you imagine? You're done with everything, you got the food in the boat, you spent over 100 years, a tenth of your life, sixth of your life, one-sixth of your life working on this boat. It's going to save your family. And then you're kicked back, and all of a sudden you hear, I can't do an elephant.
Right.
Yeah. You start hearing all these noises, and you look out the front door, and here's this long line, big old dust cloud. There goes my clean boat. There goes my break. There goes my rest. And they just start flooding in. And realize this is how it's going to be as long as you're in this boat. They all get in, go around. I don't know how long it takes to feed everything. But there's only 4 men and the women. They're not doing all that heavy stuff. There's plenty of other things for them to do. Everybody's busy. You get done feeding everybody, then guess what time it is?
Feed everybody.
Yeah.
Clean up after
everybody. You clean up what they fed on the first time, and then you get clean up what they fed on the first time, it's time to feed them again. Meanwhile, somebody else is running around watering everything, and then when they've drank what you watered them first time, somebody's cleaning up where that went, and it goes on and on and on. Big, stanky, noisy boat. But it was worth it.
Yeah, amen.
So the reason I'm bringing this to your attention today is because the day's going to come. We ain't going to be in a love boat no. Now listen, this is the most important part of this. That don't mean, look, there ain't nobody here for us to blame.
Right.
If we don't get this right, we didn't get this right.
Right, exactly.
Because you know how I am, man. I'm open. I'm. There ain't no none of this. We're in this thing together. And if I'm going sideways, will somebody say, hey, man, please, will you?
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, right.
I start to do something or act in a way or something. It's like, okay, you don't get it? Well, come up and say, I don't get it. Because maybe I don't either. Right. And maybe I didn't even see it.
Right.
But we're in this together. Amen. Saying our Artless Reaper doesn't have a church.
Right.
It's like Noah didn't have a boat. I don't have a church. Right. This ain't Artless and Kitty's work. I mean, this is our church.
Yes.
Our boat.
Our
if we don't get this right, there ain't nobody else to blame it on.
Right.
This is us. So we got to make sure when things start getting noisy, that we keep what we got right here, this core love right here. Because the core will grow if we can keep the love.
Yeah.
What happens is the other ones come in, they're noisy, they're loud, they're stinky, they ain't nothing but work, they never help do nothing. All they do is drain, 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 drain. Guess what? If we love them long enough, either God is going to draw them in and they will attach themselves to this core and we'll have more people to love and more people to love us the right way. Or God will say, no, no, if you ain't going to get in this, you got to go somewhere else because this is a real deal right here and I'm going to bring people in that will become a part of this. But we've got to keep this.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
We got to remember that That's when right. it gets stanky, loud,
yeah,
and nothing but work.
That's right. That's right.
Brand new people in God ain't nothing but work. Them young parents out there, free range raising their kids like chickens out on the back lot. Them kids come in, man, it's like monkeys at the zoo that got out of the cage. Guess whose job it's going to be to corral the monkeys? Us. Uh-huh. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Maybe that dander's been held off by God all this time. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, when she comes in, it's going to be wide open. And there's a whole lot more where she came from. And if we can't do that, then what are we doing? Lord, I thank you, Father, for your people.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you, Lord, for Travis and Lori.
Yes, Lord.
Jimmy and Stacy, Nathan and Abby. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for Damon and Iris, Mel, Ruth, and Olive. Thank you for my best friend, my soulmate, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And I thank you, Father, that you have made a way for us to save our houses. And you called us first, Lord. Lord, it's been fun. It has. Every one of our families has been through some stuff. But when that happened, all the rest of the families got right behind them. Prayed, fasted, sought you for them.
Yes.
Let them know that they were there for them until that season passed.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we've been through some things. We've been through some things together.
Yes.
And now, Lord, there's a comfort here.
Yes.
There's a peace here. There's a trust level here.
Yes, Lord.
A high trust level. It's been earned. It's been proven. And I thank you for that, Father. And Lord, if this is all you did the rest of my days, God, I would die a happy man.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for brothers and sisters, Lord, the real deal.
Yes.
Thank you for it. Thank you for a real live church family, Father. Thank you for it. I don't have one more thing to ask for. I'm not missing one thing, Lord. But Father, there's a whole lot of people out there, God, that ain't got a clue nothing like this exists. Some young moms out there trying to raise kids by themselves. They wasn't taught by their own mama how to raise a kid. And Lord, they're just flying by the seat of their britches, Lord, going to bed every night, feeling like they're failing their kids, Lord. Feeling like they can't do it. And they're asking for you. So Lord, if you'll trust us with them, Lord, we'll do the best we can, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we'll remember when it gets loud and gets stanky, when all it is work. And we look at each other and there ain't nothing but sweat on the forehead with blood vessels sticking out. We're going to remember, Father. That's why we're here. That's why you called us here. And Lord, we trust you. You get to call the ones through the door. You're the caller.
Yes.
We're the workers. It's your boat. We're the labor.
Yes.
And Lord, no matter what, we win because our families are in. We win, Lord. So Father, there ain't nothing we can do. Spend every day the rest of our lives working for you. And we already won. We came out on top, Father. So Lord, I ask you to remind us of that in those days when we get tired, in those days when we feel like that we just run around in circles and like the loud ones and the stanky ones and the ones that ain't helping with nothing but costing everything, when we feel like it ain't doing no good, let us remember that that's up to you to decide.
Yes, Lord.
But we ask you, Father, that when those people make contact with you, and when they do know that we care about them and love them for real, we ask you, Lord, that if they will not make their way in, then take them somewhere else, Father, that they would not take the place of somebody that will do something with this great salvation, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And I thank you now. I thank you, Lord, for the Russell family, the Wells family, both Rapier families. I ask you, Lord, to help us to stay strong together. Help us, Father, that to never lose sight, never lose our focus. I plead the blood of Jesus over our families and over this family that our families have made. I ask you, Lord, to visit our children. Visit our grown children. Visit them, Lord. Speak their names, God. Lord, we're in this boat, but ain't all of our children in it. Visit them today, God. Speak their names. Shrink their worlds, God. And God, visit those of us that have them. Visit our grandbabies, Lord. Lord, why should they be penalized for bad decisions their parents might make, Lord? Speak our grandbabies' names, Father. And Lord, when one child comes in, let everybody rejoice over that child like it's their child, because it is. When one grandbaby comes in, let everybody rejoice over that grandbaby like it's theirs, because it is, God. Teach us, show us. We don't know how to do this. We know the way it's been done ain't the right way, Father, so we need to learn from you. Lord, if I ever take a step that's even sideways, God, smite my heart, Father. And Lord, if I don't listen, God, Lord, let somebody here have the love and the courage to speak to me, Lord, knowing that I need them to, God. Bind us together. I thank you for the privilege, Father. Thank you for this privilege of bringing our families together. Thank you for these friendships and the love that's here, God. Help us to spread that love to everybody that wants it, God. Ask you, Lord, to do all this for your glory. And in Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right. I mean, so be it.